Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It's good to see you this morning. We're doing like a really quick two-part series here. And so church is not about what happens here on Sunday, right? Church is really what we do here on Sunday is really with the intention of what happens throughout the week out there. And so it's not just what you hear. It's not about coming and hearing like a good message and getting a little inspired, but it's really about hearing the word of God and letting God speak to you about something that you need to do out there. And so it's taking what we learned here and doing it. The Bible contrasts the wise man with the foolish man, and this goes for women as well. The wise person hears the word and does it. And the foolish person also hears the word, they just forget and don't do it. So our goal today is that what you hear in the church, you would take outside. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Are we good? Yeah, we're... Yes, sort of, kind of. That's good. We're getting there, you know, little by little. All right. Well, we're in the second part of a two-part series, God's view. And we're looking at God's view of identity. What does identity mean? Because the world has a lot of views on what identity is and what it looks like and how we're to shape or mold or express our identity. But God also has a view. And when the world's view or our own view differs from God's view, guess which view is right? Some of you are really sharp. Yes, that's the answer. God's view is right. God's view is always right. This is something coming into church as we follow Jesus. It's sort of an assumption that we go into at all times in life, that God is always right. And when we differ in opinion, what's necessary for us is to begin to adjust and say, how can I shift my view to God's view? And so we looked last week at identity, and this week we're going to look at purpose. Because everybody on earth has a purpose. You were not born here by accident. God made you for a purpose. And He has an assignment that He has for your life that aligns with your identity. And so today, as we begin God's view, let's do with a quick little review of last week. So last week we talked about God's view in regards to our identity. And we looked especially at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. So we're looking at Jeremiah and seeing in his life what applies to our life. And so identity-wise, we see four things about God's view of our identity. Number one, God's view is that you are known by God, which means that because God is love, you are loved. You are known and you are loved. And so many of us, we spend our lives trying to be known, trying to let people know about us, whether it's through social media or social interactions and promoting ourselves and trying to do something worthwhile for the sake of being known for who we believe ourselves to be. And we may waste so much time and effort trying to get acceptance and love for ourselves, when if we started out with the knowledge that we are known and loved and accepted by God, we could spend our time expressing love and expressing acceptance to those around us. And how much better would the world be if instead of everybody trying to get others to give them love and acceptance, we spent our time focusing on who can I pour love and acceptance into? And that's what it is to be known by God and to be formed by God, knowing that you are handmade by God. You are specially put together by Him for a purpose. And you are unique with all of your strengths, all of your flaws, every aspect of who you are, God will use for His glory when we begin to understand that we are handmade, formed by God. And the third thing that God said to Jeremiah is that you've been consecrated, you've been set aside for a special purpose. You've been picked out, you've been formed, and you've been set apart to work and walk in the ways of your created purpose. And the fourth thing is that you are appointed God has chosen you because he has a special purpose for your life. And so we're going to look at that. That's kind of our leaping off place today as we look at God's view on purpose in our lives. So looking at Jeremiah, what we're going to do is first look at Jeremiah, and from his life, we'll look at four elements of God's view of purpose in Jeremiah's life. And then we're going to apply that to our lives, how those four elements apply to our lives. So you ready? Are you good? All right, Father, we just pray a blessing on your word today, that as we receive your word, it would transform us, that as we hear your word, we would see you in your word, and seeing you, Lord God, we would become more like you, our hearts would be closer to you, and you would be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, number one, God chose Jeremiah. All right? The Bible says that God chose Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nation. So God had this special role for Jeremiah. God said, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, a prophet is just someone who speaks on God's behalf. And so Jeremiah was specially chosen for this role, to be the prophet of God, to speak on God's behalf. All right? Let's jump up to verse 6. Now, Jeremiah is not the only one who's chosen. We're all chosen. But as we look at Jeremiah's choosing, his response when God says, this is what I've chosen you for, to be a prophet, to hear from me and then speak to others. Jeremiah's response was, oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say you're too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. So Jeremiah's initial response is, I can't. I'm incapable. And all of us, there's that element inside of us, the fears within. As we begin to hear God's call in our lives, if it's truly a God-sized call and a call that reflects God's heart, many of us, our first response is going to be, no, I don't want to do that. I'm incapable of doing it. I don't know if I can accomplish that. That sounds so difficult or so different from who I am. Jeremiah, the Bible historians tell us, was probably around in his late teens when this took place in his life. And so he's looking at it as just a young man and saying, man, you want me to go and be a prophet to a whole nation and tell them what you're saying? Nobody's going to believe me. I'm not up to this. And in all of our lives, I don't know if that's you, but I know many times my response to God is the same. Like when I feel God saying, you got to go talk to this person. They're not going to listen. You got to go do this. I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. We make up these excuses. But God said, don't worry. God replied, I'm going to go with you wherever I send you. And then you need to say whatever I tell you. So here's what God promises Jeremiah. Don't worry, not only have I chosen you, and not only am I, I'm also going to direct you in where you need to go. So when God chooses us, he chooses us for a purpose. And when he chooses us in that purpose, he doesn't always give us all of the details of where we're going to end up or how the journey's going to go. But what he does promise is that he will direct us in that journey. So God wants to go alongside you. It's not going to be like in the old days. I remember when I was living in the States and I was working in a job that really took me to, I don't remember how many of the states, but I was kind of driving all over the country as a salesman. And so I was marketing peanuts. And so driving to all these places to sell peanuts. So back in the day, there was no GPS. You had to have paper maps. I would get these maps and big books of maps, and I'm trying to find out and trying to draw my route through, you know, the back country of Oklahoma and, you know, all these states. And you're driving and you're trying to look at that and you're trying to remember. And it's so much easier if you just have someone who knows the way, right? And they just sit next to you and say, okay, go there. Okay, go here. Go there. And see, that's actually how God wants us to live. He wants to accompany us on the journey. And this is what he's telling Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I don't know if I can do this, God. God says, don't worry. I'll go with you. I'll tell you what to say. Now, some of us, when God says, I'll tell you what to do, I'll show you where to go and tell you what to say. Some of us, our response to that is, don't tell me what to do. I got my own plan. I got my own stuff. Don't tell me what to say. I got my own, personality, and I gotta express myself to God, And God is saying, I want to work with who you are. I formed you. I know exactly who you are. I want the best of who you are to come out. The reason why I'm getting in the car with you is because it's going to be so much easier for you to get to where you're created to go and where you want to go if I'm directing the way. That's why God wants to be in our lives. But the difficult part of that is, do we trust God? Do we trust Him to direct us? Do we trust Him to speak into our lives? All right, let's look at the next verse there. Let's see. Okay. Verse 8. He says, "And don't be afraid of people, for I will be with you and I'll protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." And so as we go through life, there are going to be internal fears that we face. And God says, "Hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to say what you need, tell you what you need to say at the time when you need to say it." And there's going to be there's going to be external pressures and opposition in our lives. How many of you ever faced external opposition in your lives? Circumstances, people, things that stand against you. So we have internal fears and conflict in our lives as we try to fulfill God's purpose or try to discover God's purpose. And then we have external opposition. Sometimes it's the economy, sometimes it's our neighbor, sometimes it's a coworker, people in our family, people who just don't like us. Whatever it might be, we have this external opposition and external enemies that come rise up against God's purpose in our lives. But God says, "I'll take care of both." He says, "I'll be with you." Whenever you face someone, whenever you face some difficulty, some opposition, you face a Goliath, God's going to say, "I'm going to be with you. And I'll protect you. I'll win the battle for you." And so you see that the common denominator here in us overcoming our inner fears and overcoming external foes is having God with us. Because through every storm, God is the one who carries us through. Against every enemy, God is the one who gives you the victory. And dealing with any kind of a fear in our lives, God is the one who brings us peace. And so you're going to see that there's this theme throughout today's message. It's really all about having Jesus in your life. As a church, it's part of our mission is to be Christ-centered. Because it all comes down to Him. And this, who we are as a church, really only exists because of Him. And He's the one that we're bringing people to. He's the one that we're following. All right, next one. Point three, so God chose Jeremiah, God directed Jeremiah, and God said, "I'm going to be with you." We talked about in the last verse how God is with us. That's His promise. Whatever we face, God will be with us. The next verse, verse 9, "Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, 'Look, I have put my words in your mouth.'" And so the fourth thing is that God gave Jeremiah what to say. So we don't have to worry when that time comes. God will give us what we're to say. What we have to do is get on the journey with God. What we have to do is trust God in the journey. So we look at those four things, God's view of purpose as we see it in Jeremiah. Number one, God chose Jeremiah. Number two, God directed Jeremiah. Number three, God was with Jeremiah. Number four, God gave Jeremiah what to say. We might say, "Well, Jeremiah, he's a famous guy. He's in the Bible. There's a book written in the Bible after his name. He was called to prophesy to the nations, and so he's special." The truth is, as we're going to see now, is actually every single one of us have this. God has the same view of your purpose. These four things actually apply to each and every one of us as we seek to discover God's purpose for our lives. Because God has a purpose for your life. And so I think that's where we begin today, is just understanding that we saw these four principles in Jeremiah's life, but God has a purpose for your life. You're not here by accident. You're not just making your own way. So we love to do this, the interactive preaching. Just turn to your neighbor and convince them that God has a purpose for their life. Turn to someone and just tell them, God has a purpose. All right, so in our daily reading as a church, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. I think we just finished up now the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews talks a lot about how God speaks to us. And starting in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it gives us an insight into how God's purpose comes to each and every one of us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." And so God used to speak through the prophets. God would come, choose one person, and it would look a lot like Sunday church. God would talk to, I'd get one word, the prophet would get a word, and then he'd share it with everybody else. But God's intention actually is not that. His intention was that we should all hear directly through Jesus. That we would see God, hear his voice, understand him, draw close to him, and get to know him through the life of Jesus. And so we're going to see how through the life of Jesus, God speaks all the same things that we see him speaking to Jeremiah. What that means is that you are just like Jeremiah. God's chosen you. God's going to direct you. God's going to be with you. And he's going to tell you what to say. Because you are called to be also to be God's mouthpiece. You're called to hear God's voice and to speak on his behalf. Just let that sink in a little bit. Just like Jeremiah, you won't write your own book of the Bible. But you'll write the words of God into other people's lives as you learn to step out into God's purposes for your life. You ready for it? All right. It's good. Here we go. Number one, God chose you. John chapter 15, verse 16. God chose you. You didn't chose me. This is if you have one of those paper Bibles or in the scriptures, when they write it out, they often write Jesus' words, the words that he spoke in red letters. And so these are actually in red letters. These are words that Jesus spoke. He said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." You're chosen by God. God's purposed you to bear fruit. And that fruit, what's connecting here is God's view of fruit is you living out answers to prayer and seeing answers to prayer. So what does that mean? God is saying, "I've chosen you to be a person who communes with me in the place of prayer." Because all that prayer is it's communication with God. It's conversations with God. And as you converse with God, fruit starts to come out of your life. So God chose you to be a person who communicates with him. And then shares what he's communicating to you through others. Now, one of the ways that God communicates to us is through the scripture. So we trust when the scripture says God chose you, that that's the truth. God chose you. Another way that God speaks is he does still speak through people. So on this Sunday, when we come together, the goal is that God would speak through me to you. So that's why every Sunday you got to be praying for me. That when I communicate, I'm communicating what God wants you to hear. And then, as you hear from God through the Word of God, as you hear from God through other people sharing, as you hear from God through prayer, then the next thing you do is you got to share that with somebody else. And so this is part of why we practice now. You're going to practice by turning to someone and saying, "God chose you to be fruitful. So go ahead and share that." We know it's the Bible, so you can share and be confident that's something God gave you. It's good. How many of you feel that, like, that's a little uncomfortable? You feel a little uncomfortable doing that in church? You know, if it's uncomfortable in church, it'll be even more uncomfortable when you're outside of church. So that's all we got to practice now. This is like the easy time to share what God is saying. And we're like spoon feeding you things from the Word of God. And, you know, so it's really easy. But this is what the Christian life is. It's hearing from God through all different avenues and then sharing what God shares with us with others. All right? Number two, God will direct you. So God chose you. He'll direct you. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So as God's sheep, we know his voice. And I know a lot of people struggle with, man, I don't know God's voice. Well, let me give you some tips on how to learn to know God's voice better. Number one, this is a good start, coming to church, because we believe that God speaks when we gather together. God himself says, whenever two or three of you gather together, I come. I love to be in that place. And we know that God is everywhere. God is always with us. Well, so when he says, I come, or I inhabit that I come into that space, what it really means is he makes himself present, or he reveals himself to us, or he makes it where we're aware of his presence. And so God does that when we come together and worship him. God does that when we come together in fellowship and when we preach. God does that when you read the word. God will begin to reveal himself and speak to you through the scripture. God will begin to speak to you in the place of prayer, which is just communicating with him. And my encouragement to you is just begin communicating with God and say, God, you said that your sheep know your voice. And I'm one of your sheep, so I want to know your voice. And just make that like your morning prayer. Every morning you wake up, say, God, let today be a day when I hear your voice as your sheep and know your voice. And then what you find is throughout the day, different thoughts will come, different ideas that you'll get. And as you step out in faith, if like you see someone and say, that seems like that person, something inside you says, that person's really feeling down. I'm just going to go encourage them. Just go and say hi. And if you step out on that and just give them a smile and say hi, and then you see how they respond. You see, God will drop little thoughts and little ideas into your life, into your mind and your heart. And as you follow them, you'll get to begin to distinguish. By the results of it, you'll say, wow, that really was God. That person really needed encouragement today. That person was really struggling with someone, with something. That person was sick, and when I prayed for them, God made them better. See, as we begin to respond to God's voice, then the relationship with God begins to grow. But it takes a little bit of us stepping out. It takes a little bit of a rest to say, God, I'm not sure if that's you yet. I'm not sure yet of that relationship. I'm not sure of your voice yet, but I'm going to just step out and try. That's how relationships are built. That's how friendships happen. You see someone at work, you say, hey, you know, I don't know if the person likes me or not, but I'm going to ask them, hey, you want to go get coffee? And if they say yes, all of a sudden, it's a first step towards a friendship, which could lead to a relationship, which could lead to romance and maybe marriage, you know? Just, you never know how God might work that in your life. All right. That was my line that I used on my wife. The first time, well, second time. Third time I met you. Anyway, and today we're married. So I want to encourage you. This is how it works with God. You just take a chance. Maybe that is God speaking. I'm going to try. And then you'll begin to learn to hear his voice. So God chose you. God will direct you. John chapter 5, verse 19 says this, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." See, Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done. When Jesus walked this earth, he lived by connecting with the Father and saying, okay, Father, you direct me. And Jesus lived a directed life, hearing what God wanted him to say, seeing what God wanted him to do. And so when he calls us to say, now you do what I'm telling you to do as my sheep, you hear my voice and follow me, He's only asking us to do what he himself did. And the Christian life is just following Jesus. So living a life of obedience to him, living a life of saying what he's saying to us, is simply following in his footsteps. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12 gives us a secret to how do we hear God's voice. Because I know for some of you, you know, I need some practical advice and some practical steps. And here's what God told Elijah. Now, God came, said, I'm going to come. Elijah, I'm going to speak to you. And so as God came to visit, first of all, the Bible says there was this typhoon came, this huge storm, this wind that actually was breaking the rocks. And then came an earthquake. Sounds like Taiwan, typhoon, and then earthquake. Maybe God's speaking. But the Bible says when the typhoon, God said, no, I'm not in the typhoon. And sometimes we want to look for God in the big things. God, it's got to, you know, it's not you unless a lot of people show up or some amazing miracle happens. And I'm looking for God for lightning to strike, and then I know it's God. As God said, he sent a typhoon, but his voice wasn't in the typhoon. He sent an earthquake, but his voice wasn't in the earthquake. He sent fire, but his voice wasn't in the fire. And 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12 says, and after the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. And this is how God speaks to us. The secret in that is that it was a still voice. And sometimes we just have to be still. Sometimes we just get so, I got to do something for God. I got to get going. I got to get this done now. You know, this is who I am, what I got to do. But God just says, really just get still. This is something my wife and I really need to learn. We just love serving God, and we're always like, 2 a.m., still got stuff to do. You know, that's our lifestyle. You know, just going, got one more thing to do for God. And God is saying, actually, I wouldn't mind just talking. I wouldn't mind you stopping doing some of your stuff and actually do some of my stuff. Because ministry stuff and church stuff is not always God's stuff. In fact, most of God's stuff doesn't happen on an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Most of God's stuff happens 6.8, whatever, days a week outside of church. But if we never get still before God, we don't learn to hear his voice. And we don't learn to get small before God. What is getting small? It's just humbling ourselves. It's so easy for our pride to come into ministry. I love when things go well. I don't love when I get up and I preach a message and it just feels like, okay, that was a bomb. I just don't know what I was talking about. What, you know, nobody connected. I don't like having a meeting and nobody shows up and I just feel like. But sometimes God loves just being with you. And what God's looking for is not how big we can be. God's looking for how small can we be. Sometimes the greatest barrier to God speaking into our lives is our pride. Not our lack of ability, not our lack of anointing, not our lack of ideas, but taking the time to be still and to be small. God speaks. Still small voice. God will direct you if you'll listen. Third thing, God will be with you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus said, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end, to the end of the age. But God says, whatever you do, I'm going to be with you. So it's not you out on your own. You don't just get into that still, small place, hear some commands, and then you're out on your own trying to do them. He says, no, I'm going to walk with you in whatever you do. And that's the beauty of it. And actually, that's the goal. He is always the goal. It's when God gives you an assignment and an appointment, when God gives you his purpose, His purpose is not primarily about your assignment or appointment. His purpose is still primarily about Him. And the fact that He wants to go with you. That He wants to direct you. And the point of Him directing you is really not about you getting the instructions right. It's really about you and Him building the relationship together. There's times, sometimes our most fun adventures are when we mess up. My wife and I, sometimes the most fun journey is when we get lost together and we're experiencing something new. We have to be on an adventure. Of course, sometimes when we're actually trying to get somewhere, that can test our relationship too. But here's the deal. It's often in the conflict that our relationships grow deepest. Because a great relationship is not about the absence of conflict. A great relationship is about working through the conflict and our willingness to stay committed. That's why God says, I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end. We find so many reasons to just throw away relationships. We live in a culture that just has cancel, throw away relationships. And God is saying, that's not my culture. I want to be with you. Because guess what? You're going to have, if you haven't yet, you're going to have conflict with God. There's going to be things that God wants you to do that you don't want to do. And you're going to have conflict with God's people. There are going to be things that God's people want you to do that you don't want to do. There's going to be things that you want to do that God's people won't want to do with you. And this conflict can either cause our relationships to grow deeper. The Bible says this, as iron sharpens iron. If we will allow ourselves in the conflict to be sharpened rather than to be divided, that's what causes the body of Christ to grow. That's actually what discipleship is. It's sort of knocking the edges off each other and helping redirect each other's lives. And real discipleship starts to get into each other's lives. God will be with you. And here's the truth about how God is with us. God is with us in the Word. God is with us in prayer. One of the main ways that God is with us is in fellowship with the body of Christ. And it's the relationships that we have here that begin to form and shape us. One of the reasons why we do connect groups as a church is because that's where you begin to build relationships and to do life together. See, church was never meant to be an event where we gather together. I mean, this is great. I love coming and worshiping. And I love, you know, hearing good preaching and I love the fellowship. I'm always built up. I'm excited about Sundays. I look forward to Sundays. But this isn't the kingdom of God. This is just one small part of the kingdom of God. What really, where God really lives is when we walk out there. When we share life together and we get into each other's lives. That's why Jesus lived his life. He loved the big events. I mean, he would, you know, gather people and they would stay together all way past, you know, closing time. And you know, his disciples would see, like, Jesus, send them home. It's way past, you know, dinner time. You know, these people have been here forever. Send them home. And Jesus was like, no, you know, it's okay. Let's give them all something to eat. We ran out of food. We didn't bring any food. Jesus said, so you give them something. Jesus just, you know, he loved the crowd. But the focus of his time was with his 12. That's where he really invested and did life. That's why it was not Jesus and the crowds. It was Jesus and his 12. And that's why as a church, we don't just do Sunday. We have connect groups where you get together with people that you meet with every week and you talk about life and you begin to unpack stuff in your life. I love my connect group. We talk about, gosh, just everything. You know, we talk about our failures. We talk about our dreams. We talk about our relationships. We talk about our plans. And then we sharpen each other. You know, if someone is confused, you know, sometimes they get called out, made fun of a little bit, you know, in the connect group. But that's life. And so I encourage you, if you're not in a connect group, you need to get into a group of folks that you do life together with. So show of hands, who here is in a connect group? If you're in a connect group, show of hands, all right. So the goal is now to look around, keep your hand up. Everybody, if you're in a connect group, those of you who are not in a connect group, look for someone who either has their hand up and say, I want to join your connect group, or look for someone with their hands down and say, why don't we start a connect group? Let's go get coffee today, and let's just talk about, you know, what that might look like, getting together on a regular basis and just building a relationship. And that's uncomfortable in our lives, especially for the introverts. All the introverts, just keep your hands down. You know, it's uncomfortable, but it's the way God created us to live. The Christian life was not meant to be lived alone. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. If you want to be one with Christ and be with Christ, it's being with the church. Okay? John chapter 15, verses 5 and 7 says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus in our lives, we're incapable. And that's why God puts us into the body of Christ. That's why Jesus gets us to get into the Word. Jesus is the Word, and He gives us the Scripture so that we can learn to remain in Him, keep that relationship with Him. Verse 7, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. So the key to answered prayer, once again, is being in relationship with Jesus. It's not about how hard we can pray and how fancy our prayers can be to convince God to do what we want Him to. That's not the key to answered prayer. The key to answered prayer is this ongoing communication and relationship with God. Because if you feel like God isn't listening to what you're saying, maybe you should start talking to Him about things that He's interested in. That's kind of just a low-level truth, even in human relationships. If it feels like nobody's listening to what you have to say, maybe you should start talking about things that people want, that they want to talk about. Same with God. Number 4, God's view of our purpose in Jesus. God chose you. God will direct you. God will be with you. And God will give you what to say. See, you're called, just like Jeremiah was, to be a prophet. In other words, to be a person who hears something from God and shares that with somebody else. Now, you may not be a prophet, like a big P prophet like Jeremiah was. But the Bible says this, the spirit of prophecy is just the testimony about Jesus. And so you're most like a prophet when you're telling other people about Jesus. And so when we say you're a prophet like Jeremiah, what we mean is you're also called to talk about Jesus, to tell the good news of Jesus to other people. And so turn to your neighbor and tell them, you also are a prophet. How do I know that? Well, because this is what Jesus assigned us to do. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, God has anointed me, Jesus talking about His ministry, God has anointed me to share the good news to the poor. And then Jesus said to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the good news to every nation. So Jesus said, I've come to preach the good news. And then He said to us, He said, now you go and you preach the good news. And what is that good news? It's just the good news about Jesus. That Jesus loves us, that He chose us, that we have this identity in Him. Jesus knows you. He chose you. He formed and shaped you. He has a plan and purpose for your life, and He wants to come into your life and be with you. He wants to free you from the pain and the bondage of sin and brokenness and make you whole in Him. He also said this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. And then in Matthew 5, 14, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You see, what Jesus came to do, He's now assigned you to do. So you're the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, you're the light of the world. See, God speaks to us through Jesus. We just need to pay attention to what Jesus said to us. Because what God said to Jeremiah when he gave him his purpose, God says the same thing to you and I through Jesus, giving us our purpose. And so our purpose is to recognize that we're chosen by God, that we're to be directed by God, the same way that Jesus says, I do whatever the Father tells me to do, that's what I do. Whatever he tells me to say, that's what I say. And Jesus calls us to live the same way, to be his sheep. I'll close with this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. Well, what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So God calls us. Jesus says, you are salt and you are light. It's good every morning you wake up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, good morning, sunshine. I'm here to bring light to people. That's my assignment by Jesus. But Jesus also assigns you to be salt, just like salt. I love how salt goes into places where the poor are, where the marginalized are. We get a chance to minister to people who are in need through that, to speak, bring good news. And sometimes good news is you're hungry, we got food. You're cold, we got clothes. That's good news. That actually, you know, when people are hungry, they normally don't want to hear about Jesus. He used to learn this when we'd go to the soup kitchens to feed homeless guys in Hawaii and in New York. And when I'd go to preach there, I'd learn, you know, guys, they want to eat. And a lot of times they won't listen much if they haven't ate. And so you got to feed them. But sometimes you feed them, they don't want to listen anymore. So it's just that, you know. But what happens as we feed them and say, this is the blessing of God in your life, it opens their hearts to the Lord. And when we are salt, it means we go in and get lost. When you cook a meal, you don't look and say, wow, that's beautiful salt. Or man, that tasted like such great salt. Says that tastes like a great piece of meat or a great vegetable or a great soup or whatever it might be. The salt enhances the flavor and brings out the real flavor of the dish. And that's what we're to do. We're to bring out the real flavor of their identity in God, their purpose in God. And it comes as we come. Salt does no good if it's outside the food. It has to get in there. And so that's why God sends us amongst them. That's why this is such a small part of church. And the point of this is so that you go out there and can be salt. And some people say, well, how did that? Yesterday we had a men's gathering. Matthew's kicked off this ministry called Men in Christ. And Clay was sharing and just telling the stories about how he just gets alongside people and how he does salt. How he just builds a relationship and shares Christ through that. And salt is like this. There's a simple acronym that we use. Salt is start a conversation. Just go find someone, be friends with them, and learn. Sorry, introverts, this is your learning. Stretch yourself to go and talk to someone. The weather's good, you know, and it's kind of rainy today, you know. How you doing today, you know? What'd you do yesterday? What'd you have for breakfast? I don't know, think of something, you know. But find ways to start a conversation. The fine art of small talk. Read a book about making small talk. It's a gift, it's a skill. But it's a great way. Start a conversation. And so after church today, go look for someone you don't know here and find a way to start a conversation. We promise they won't punch you out. Okay? But just learn to, you know, practice here with other people who are seeking God. And then number two, ask questions. Start a conversation, ask questions. Hey, you know, tell me a little, how are you doing today, you know? What brought you for an expat congregation? Expats is easy. What brought you to Taiwan is an easy one. Where do you live? Well, if you don't know work together, then what do you do? All different ways to ask questions and start just, and then listen. Just listen, because as you listen, that's when God will start to speak to you and say, now that's an important place. And a lot of times it's just someone's pain It's the need in their life that becomes the opportunity for you to bring Jesus into the conversation. And it may not happen in the first conversation. It may not happen in the second or third conversation. But as you build bridges into your life, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be accepted. Everybody needs healing in their life. Everybody needs direction. And these are the things, as we begin to understand our identity in Christ, we begin to understand that these are things that God provides for them and God has for them. So you listen in their lives. And then the last thing you do is tell them the good news about Jesus. But you're always looking for that opportunity, listening. Is there a moment here to share them? I always love telling the story about how we were in the cab, and the cab driver was, you know, he knew we're all foreigners sitting there. There's, I think, four of us in the cab, and we're all foreigners. And he's like, oh, so you guys, you know, moved to Taiwan, you know, you can live here, and you should learn Chinese. And I said, okay, yeah, you know. And so he says, here, this book will help you learn Chinese. And here's a CD that's going to help you learn Chinese. You know, here's a video that's going to help you learn Chinese. And turns out he was just trying to convert us to his religion. You know, so he had all these things that he prepared. And so, oh, that's interesting. And I didn't immediately say, you know, Jesus says that this is wrong. That's not where we start the conversation. We listen, right? And so, oh, that's interesting. You know, how did you make all these? And he's like, yeah, you know, I used to drive a bus, but I didn't really get to talk to people. So I changed my career so I could really talk to people, so I can share with them, you know, and help them. So I'm just here to help you. You know, so I said, oh, that's great. You know, so appreciative. I didn't say, I don't like any of that. I reject it. I believe differently. I just said, oh, thank you, you know. And then tell me about yourself. And he started talking about his career, his family. Next thing you know, he had any kids. And he says, yeah, I have a daughter, but we're estranged. My daughter has rejected me. And immediately God just drops in and says, there's a moment of pain. There's the hurt that I can heal. And so it's just, that's the Jesus moment. That's the moment then to tell the good news about Jesus. To say, you know, Jesus knows what it is to be separated. He had to leave his Father. And say, can I pray for you? God can heal that hurt in your life. And at first he's like, I don't know, I don't know. And he says, you know, what God is this, you know? And so it's Jesus. And he says, oh, okay. It's interesting. He's not a Christian, but he was okay to have Jesus, us to pray to Jesus for healing in his family. And see, that's what we're looking for. Because people, when they start to hear the good news about Jesus, not just the doctrine and the religion and the rejection, but the good news about Jesus, hearts will start to open. So you have an assignment. God's called you to talk about the good news of Jesus to others. Why don't we stand? You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that out of that love, he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins, but also to come and live inside of us, be with us, so that we would get to know his voice and begin to understand his love, his calling, and his appointment in our lives. I wouldn't want to end the service like this without giving you an opportunity. If you've been hearing about Jesus, but never ask Jesus to come and live in your life, I want to give us an opportunity just to invite Jesus into your life. And so if you would just join with me in prayer, I'm going to say a simple prayer of invitation to Jesus. And it's not like a magic incantation. God knows your heart. And so simply in your heart, agreeing with the words of these prayers, of this prayer, to invite Jesus into your heart. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, so thankful for Jesus, who came and through him we understand your heart, how you chose us, how you have a direction and an appointment for our lives, how you loved us, how you want to be with us, and to make us your sons and daughters to walk with you. Today, Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Forgive me, Lord God, of the ways that I've rejected you, ignored you, or gone away from you. And come and be the Lord of my life. May you be the one who directs my life, who guides me and tells me what to say. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.